You know who's a genius, Wendy, is Rich Lankoff. You know Rich Lankoff?
I know he is a nice guy, and maybe he's very smart, but the two of you
are
wrong.
An absolute genius is Rich Lankoff. He is our legal expert, and we've brought you in, Rich, to talk about several things going on in the world of legalness. But we were just talking about there's this guy who's he's getting into some trouble because on the train he bought he had a cell phone jammer.
The Red Line jammer. I know him well. Not personally, but know the story well, for sure.
I'm on his side. I think that that's fine. I know it's illegal. I know you can get into a lot of trouble, but I get it. This guy is fed up with being on a train where everybody's talking on their phone. He figured out a way around it. What do you think about
this? Yeah, love the Red Line jammer. Listen, for every time you've heard some idiot discuss, you know, his personal story way too loud on the L, which I have, you know, thousands of times. We all apply the Red Line jammer, but legally, of course, there's issues.
But why should people who are adhering to the rules be banned from using their cell phone? Maybe somebody's talking very quietly because there's an emergency going on with the babysitter.
Yeah, this guy is like the Charles Bronson of
He's the death wish of cell phone jammers.
So, yeah, we can't let these people take the law into their own hands, unfortunately, we'd like to jam these conversations. He did commit at
just
least a misdemeanor.
Just jam your tunes. Don't jam their phones.
Yeah, I think we would have anarchy if everyone had these jammers. But he did have something. There was something to it, for sure.
I don't think everyone should have them, Reg. I just think I should have them.
Just you and this guy.
And that guy.
Yeah, for sure.
Right.
Stop it. Somebody just texted and says, why? What if somebody has given up their landline? Because you and I are the only ones who haven't.
Right.
It's stupid. We should.
Right.
But so you got somebody jamming that guy who called and said that he jams the cell phones of his daughters.
Yes.
What if they only have a landline? They don't have a landline anymore, and there's some emergency, and your neighbor couldn't call to get the fire department.
It would be off. If there's an emergency, if somebody has a heart attack or something.
Well, that could happen.
Cell phone away. But
you're a selfish cell phone
you have
jammer.
Not been on enough public transport places where you hear these.
No, because I don't want to deal with other people. I want to drive by myself.
It's nuts. All right. Rich, we're here to talk about several important things. Where do you want to start? Which one are you comfortable with starting on?
I mean, the walkout tomorrow. The
April Fool's Day, April 1st.
April Fool's Day, for sure. A lot of stuff going on. But the labor action by the Chicago Teachers Union is obviously prominently in the news. The Teachers Union have planned to walk out of schools tomorrow and hold some other demonstrations. So on the show tomorrow on Legal Face-Off, we're going to be covering that from a legal angle, as we always try to do, and talk about whether their actions are lawful or whether they are, in fact, breaking the law, as the CEO, Forrest Claypool, has alleged.
Because what do the kids do? They have to find other arrangements. It's not like they can go to school.
Sure, yeah. I mean, you know, by not teaching, the students will not have classroom education. Of course, CPS has arranged for, I think, 260 or so alternate sites, including some park districts. But
isn't that costing extra money to get that taken care of?
Yeah, no question. I mean, not sure where that money's coming from to pay for that, but you know, it raises some interesting questions. I mean, Carol Marine, I think this week, did a great job on Chicago Tonight. I was watching. She had Forrest Claypool on, and she asked him, like, very simply, if this is an illegal strike, why is CPS not doing anything about it? Last time they struck, a couple of years ago, CPS went into court and asked a judge to restrain them from doing so. They didn't do that this time. Why? And Claypool really didn't have a great answer, in my opinion. If this is an illegal strike, which, again, they're alleging pretty forcefully, why not do something to stop it? Claypool has said it's too late. You know, it's already sort of a fait accompli, and they're going to take it up Monday. But the question, really, that we're going to cover tomorrow is whether it is illegal, whether their actions tomorrow violate the law.
Well, is there something in writing in a personal contract or in a bargaining agreement with the union that says striking not allowed under any circumstances? Is it spelled out that succinctly?
Yeah, good question. I mean, it's really governed by two alternate statutes. There's a federal statute that the union is arguing governs in this case. It's the National Labor Relations Act. The CPS, on the other hand, is saying that the federal statute doesn't apply at all, that the Supreme Court case from 1956 that, you know, is kind of boring to go into doesn't apply, that instead the state statute called the Illinois Educational Labor Relations Act governs. And basically, to sum it up, CPS is saying that the only way the teachers can strike is if they have exhausted this waiting period, this cooling off period after the 60-day negotiation period. That doesn't happen for another 45 days or so. So according to the plain language of the state act, the teachers are acting illegally if they strike tomorrow. The union, on the other hand, is arguing that because CPS did certain things, like cut their pension contributions, that they acted first and they violated this federal labor act. And in doing so, they made this a fight about labor relations and not about the strike. Mm-hmm. And therefore, tomorrow's walkout is not illegal. So we have two competing arguments.
And what is this going to prove? I know Governor Bruce Rauner has not bailed out the Chicago Public Schools. I know this is a strike over pay and pension issues, but their one-day strike, what is that going to do? Is all of a sudden Rauner going to go, okay, the budget's been passed?
Agree. I don't know that Springfield or Rauner or, you know, people outside of Chicago will look at this one-day walkout and care very much, to be honest. I think if you're downstate, if you're in the rest of Illinois, you think this is just, you know, politics as usual in Chicago. You probably look at some prior issues with CPS like Barbara Bird Bennett and think this is more of the same. So I don't know that tomorrow's action will be persuasive to anyone down in Springfield or the governor.
So and it's just one day, right?
It is one day.
One day, but it's a precursor to what inevitably will be a longer strike. Remember back a couple of years ago when the last contract expired, the teachers were on strike for a full week.
Yeah.
So they
so why
have,
not take that tactic? If that's the more effective tactic strategically, why would you go with the one-day strike? Because anyone you're opposing will just go, well, it's one day. We'll rough it for a day.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question. I mean, I think, frankly, my personal opinion, not from a legal analyst perspective, but personally, I think the union is making a mistake. I don't think that they have the public sentiment behind them on this particular issue. I think lots of parents, like myself, I'm a parent to two CPS students, support our teachers. And we have, you know, I think my school, Agassiz, has the best teachers anywhere. But I think that a lot of parents think that the negotiations should be at a negotiating table, should be in the boardroom. They should be devoting
this
energy.
Keep the kids out of it.
Right. I don't think that the walk of tomorrow has anything to do with the issues. So I think, as do I think a lot of parents, that this should be negotiated not by striking or walking out or by blocking traffic on Michigan Avenue, but by the parties negotiating.
And somebody has texted in, non-union administrators are still going to work on Friday. Many of them will work these alternate sites.
Correct. I know our principal, who we met with this morning, is going to be working. Lots of CPS staff, administrative staff, will be working at these stations to help secure, you know, a good day for the kids.
Poor kids, man. They're
the
ones suffering.
They're in the middle of this. Rich Lankoff is here. We're talking about some legal things. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. Back after this, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Rich Lankoff is here. Legal Face-Off is the name of your pod. When does that drop? I like to be so hip with this
terminology. Dropping it tomorrow, April 1st, latest pod for Legal Face-Off.
WGNplus.com, a lot of great podcasts on that very site.
And Rich, you say you host the show alone, but Wendy and I did some research and you have a co-host. You were lying to us.
You know, there's this guy who shows up once in a while between trips to Vegas and other nefarious activities that we think is a co-host. His name is Jason Whiteside, but we're not quite sure.
All right.
Jury's out.
All right.
All right, what do you know? Do you know anything? I hate to put you on the spot, but there's also a strike that could be happening at O'Hare Airport.
Saw that today, yeah. I think they're, you know, maybe jealous is the word. A couple of them were talking about today when I saw them on the news that they're not getting the attention that the teachers are getting. But, yeah, similar arguments, you know, not getting the funds that they
Why isn't everyone in the whole city of Chicago going on strike with no budget? Why aren't we getting, well, not me, but why isn't Rauner getting penalized? How could this go on for this long?
We've got, you know, a lot. I mean, Chicago State has been on the news. You know, they're talking about shutting their doors. Listen, it's a mess. The fact is there's no money, right? I mean, they're not.
Well, they better get some.
Yeah.
Rauner better get a side job or something.
Yeah, maybe.
How can that not be? How can there not be any money where things are going
to
close down?
Right,
I don't understand this.
Yeah, I mean, you hate to see educational institutions, schools being shut down, but they rely on, you know, a lot of state money, and it's no surprise. I mean, Rauner was brought into office. He at least talked about these issues. Maybe a lot of people weren't listening. There's just not money to go around to fund a lot of these things. It's a huge mess.
So with these airport workers, these are baggage handlers. It's sanitation crews. It's everybody
correct.
You see around the airport doing all kinds of different jobs.
Correct. Yeah. Correct.
And their issue is what now exactly?
Well, I think they're arguing. I mean, you know, it's a monetary issue. They're arguing that they should, you know, their contract should provide them with some additional funds that they're not getting.
And they said better training too. Correct. I read better.
I think
training.
I heard that. Yeah, I'm not sure. You know, what the lack of training that they're
inadequate safety
is.
Training. And the workers went on strike today, 24-hour strike, part of a national action to protest their low wages, inadequate safety training, and retaliation for organizing. Nearly 100 baggage handlers, custodians, cabin cleaners, security officers, and wheelchair attendants walked off the job at O'Hare, joining their peers at 8 other airports across the country. It's a 24-hour strike, and there is no service disruptions reported at this point. I wonder if that will change, because this is a lot of spring breakers are already out somewhere. Mm-hmm. We had our spring break last week, the last couple of weeks, but people are on vacation now. They're going to come home to less workers, although they wouldn't be coming home today, I guess.
Hey, yeah. Wendy, can I just jump in for
yes,
just a second here?
Jordan.
We're getting word of an active shooter situation at a Greyhound bus station near Richmond, Virginia. Apparently, 4 people went to the hospital. That's really all we know right now, but I just kind of wanted to give you guys this breaking news.
Thank you, Kim.
We appreciate that. Cell phone jammers.
It could have been. We don't know. And the other strike, this seems to be strike season, right? So we've got the school strike, we've got the airport strike, and then fast food workers are also going on strike. Are you aware of this strike?
To ask for a higher
they
minimum wage.
They want a $15 an hour minimum
Which is what California's
wage.
California,
done.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's been a movement for a while. They continue to ask for that. Obviously, a lot of folks in the business community are opposing that for various reasons. But yeah, that's an active movement right now, and trying to increase the minimum wage for fast food workers.
This is my question, and it's not meant to criticize or to be harmful in any way, shape, or form. But if you don't make enough money at a particular job that you're getting paid for, don't we go get another job that might pay more? I mean, that's how we all grew up.
You would think. I think people are looking at this. I mean, for many of us, luckily, if you're working in the fast food industry, it's a temporary job. You're not hoping for it to be your career. But sadly, there are people
yes.
who that's their career.
Right now, yes.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, listen, it would be good if you're not earning enough in a minimum wage job to simply go out and get another job. The reality is, of course, that a lot of these folks don't have the skill set, the background, the education to get any other job. So the argument in favor of a higher minimum wage is just that at the bare minimum, there should be a wage that allows these people to live. Again, the counter to that is that these businesses, a lot of them can't afford that. A lot of them can't afford to increase the minimum wage without doing something else, like increasing prices for consumers. So
when I just got into radio, I just worked a couple of shifts on the weekend, and it didn't pay the bills, and I wanted to move out. And so I worked at Brookfield Zoo. I worked in the kitchen at Loyola Hospital, in addition to being on the air at The Loop. I mean, our parents sometimes had to have 2 jobs to keep things afloat. So I don't understand this.
Agree. I mean, I worked minimum wage jobs in my life when I started out. I didn't, engage in strikes. That wasn't
really.
I'm
too much of a chicken, too. I would never do it because, you could lose your job and you mm-hmm. need it.
Right. I mean, that's, the big difference, I think, that a lot of people see in the private versus public sector with regards to the teachers' strike. If, in the private sector, if you're unhappy with your wages or lack of pension matching, most people in the private sector don't have the ability to strike. Most mm-hmm. people would just be fired if they weren't happy with their condition. That's
sure.
obviously different when you have a labor situation.
And as Bill said, somebody texted and said, the jobs that pay more are rare and temporary, and that is the case for a lot of people.
Yeah, without a doubt. Rich, thank you for all of this. We didn't get, I know we don't have time to discuss this, but I was just curious. I know what a big hockey fan you are. The Duncan Keith situation, are these things always governed by professional sports, or does a situation like that ever exceed that and go to a regular court?
Sometimes, yeah, good question. We've seen occasions in the past where an athlete it has happened in hockey, has been criminally charged for an action like this.
Yeah.
Duncan Keith, you know, swung a stick and hit one of the Minnesota Wild
Charlie
players.
Charlie Coyle.
Yeah, that
Charlie
has happened
Coyle
in the past.
It. They have to look at that, though, don't they?
For sure.
I know he shouldn't use the stick as a weapon, but had Coyle not ripped his feet out from underneath him, Duncan Keith wouldn't have swung the stick.
And that's, you know, Wendy, what you're saying is exactly the reason why most of these cases don't go to criminal court, because a hockey game is not like real life. And in real life, if you swing a piece of wood at someone, you're going to get arrested.
Right.
In hockey, there are other factors like who instigated it. And, you know, hockey's just different. The rules are different. So
look
that's the reason why.
Look at a boxing match or a wrestling match. That whole thing would be illegal if it was just a, you and I on the street hitting each other.
Exactly.
But you put us in trunks in a ring and everything's fine.
I'd like to put you guys in trunks in a ring.
Maybe for your birthday, Wendy. We'll see what happens.
All right.
Rich, thank you.
Thank you very much.
It's Rich Lankoff, everybody. We'll take a quick break and then more show. Bill and Wendy.